Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Birch Ridge. My name is Milt, and I am really glad that you're here today. And I just want to thank you for choosing to be here on this Memorial Day weekend. That means a lot to me. Honestly, it means a lot, so thank you. There's been a lot of confusion and misunderstandings and maybe misinterpretations of what Memorial Day really is. Some have come to believe that Memorial Day is a day that honors all veterans. And though, please hear me, although I truly believe that we ought to honor veterans every single day of the year, which, by the way, since we're at it, again, that is not the purpose of Memorial Day, but if we have an opportunity to honor veterans, I want to do so. So if you are sitting here today and you have served in the United States military in any capacity over any decade, would you please just stand for a brief moment? Some people have come to believe that Memorial Day is actually just nothing more than a day off from work, a paid day off from work that happens to coincide with a weekend, so we just get a long weekend to go camping or grilling out on Sunday. I'm not much of a camper, but I love grilling, okay? So I'm not coming against that either. Some people think Memorial Day is actually the purpose of it is to introduce summer. The official introduction to summer. And though it does coincide with the beginning of summer, that has nothing to do with Memorial Day either. Memorial Day is a day that we set aside to honor and remember the brave men and women of the United States military who have served honorably and have paid the ultimate price, their very lives, to protect and preserve the freedoms that you and I enjoy. Now, please hear me. I know that America has her problems. Trust me, you know. But even at her worst, she's still the greatest country on the planet. And today, we honor and we remember those brave men and women who have served honorably and paid the ultimate price for our freedom.
Thank you. Speaking of not forgetting, happy birthday, Noreen. Today's Noreen's birthday. It is, isn't it? I was like, she's looking at me like, I think I had it right. I didn't mess up somebody's anniversary just last week, so it was not beyond me to make a mistake daily. So happy birthday. Hebrews chapter 11, if you have your Bible, we're going to look at one verse right there and build from there for today's message. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4. It says, it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he speaks to us by his example of faith. Today, as we remember and honor those who have served so honorably and paid the ultimate price for the freedoms that we enjoy, I think it would be good for us to also remember a man named Abel. Abel was the first casualty of a righteous cause, if you will. Abel fell at the hands of his brother Cain. You see, Abel brought God an offering that was his very, very best. He brought the goods. And Cain, well, he brought God his sloppy leftovers. He brought God what was easy. And God received Abel's gift, but he did not receive Cain's gift. And so Cain became very angry and jealous. And in a fit of rage, he killed his brother Abel. And the Bible says that though Abel is dead, yet he speaks to us. So today, what is it that Abel would want to say to us? What message would Abel want to convey to us on this Memorial Day weekend? Looking at four things, I believe. This morning, number one, the life of Abel speaks to us of the effects that sin can have on a life. The life of Abel speaks to us of the effects that sin can have on a life. Cain allowed sin to just grab a hold and grow roots in his heart, and he killed his brother Abel. Now, I honestly don't believe that Cain entered into this scenario with murder on his mind. But you see, that's what sin does. When you allow sin to run wild in your heart, you never know where it's going to take you. Right? As they say, sin will take you farther than you wanted to go. It'll cost way more than you wanted to pay, and it'll keep you longer than you wanted to stay. That's the problem with sin. And as a result of killing his brother, God put a mark on Cain. And Cain spent the rest of his life as a vagabond, wandering aimlessly and hopelessly all through the rest of his life. The scripture records Cain as saying, "My punishment is more than I can bear." Okay? So as Cain is whining and sniveling about the punishment that he's receiving by having this mark on him and being able to, and having to wander through the rest of his life as a vagabond, we need to stop and think that sin always affects more than just you. Right? Sin always affects more than just you. It affected Cain, no doubt. He's got this mark on him. Now he's wandering aimlessly. Right? But it also affected his brother. Right? Now his brother dead. Right? He killed his brother. It affected his brother. It affected his parents. And who knows how far that pain traveled. Sin always affects more than just you. Right? It always affects those around you. Especially those closest to you. We get people that are like, "Hey, just leave me alone." Right? It's my life. It's my body. I do what I want. Besides, it's not hurting anybody else. That's a lie. Okay? Don't you ever believe that. Don't you ever say that. It's a lie straight from the pits of hell. It's only affecting me. No, it always affects others, especially those closest to you. And though sin may feel good at the time, right? The scripture says there is pleasure in sin for a season, but it always ends in death. Every single time. James chapter 1 and verse 15 says, "These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death." That's why it's so important that we protect our mind. That's why it's important that you protect what you allow your kids to watch on TV. That's why it's important that we renew our minds constantly, because these desires, these thoughts. Now, if we take those thoughts captive, I'd say we're okay, right? Because sometimes thoughts just come in there. We just got to take it captive and say, nope, right? But when those thoughts are allowed to run crazy, it leads to sinful actions. The action is sin. And that action of sin leads to death every single time. So what does Abel want us to know? He wants us to know that sin can ruin a life. It's like, it's just this, it's just a little bit, it's just for a while, it's just once. Sin can ruin a life and rob you of God's very best. And it'll end in death every single time. And though we all know, probably all know the scripture, Romans chapter 3, right? It talks about for every one of us, for all have sinned and come short of God's glorious standard, right? We've all come short of God's glory. We've all broken God's law. We've all broken God's heart. Everybody get that? Though we've all broken God's law and fall short of His glory, I'm here today to tell you that there is forgiveness found in Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness found in Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just." The NLT says, if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. There is forgiveness found in Christ. Abel speaks to us about the effects that sin can have on our life. Number two, I believe Abel's life speaks to us of the shortness of life. Abel speaks to us about the shortness of life. Abel was just a young man when he died. I mean, he hadn't even yet begun to live out all his days. And we all know death is a reality, don't we? I mean, it is appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We all know. But somewhere in the back of our brains, we keep it reserved, we keep it in mind that the death is just for the old. Okay, I'm just throwing it out there. We have it in our minds, and no matter how old we get, we still think we're not old. Right? We're like, oh, that's for old people. You know, and I'm thinking, right? But that's not true, is it? A week ago today, a 20-year-old man from Illinois was up by Hope, walking in the mud flats. And he got stuck in the mud, and before he could get rescued, the tide came in and he drowned. 20 years old. I bet that young fella had his whole summer planned out with some crazy cool stuff. I bet a week ago this morning, he didn't wake up thinking, I'm wondering if this is the last day I'm going to be alive. Probably never crossed his mind. We have no guarantees of tomorrow, do we? Church, we don't. We don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. We've got breath in our lungs. We've got today. And even that breath is a precious gift of God. But we still take it for granted, don't we? James chapter 4 and verse 13. "Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, poof, and it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that." Listen, even that young fellow, way too young, 20 years old. But listen, even if we live out all of our natural days, it's still a quick trip. Would you agree? Yeah. How many of you would agree that the older we get, the faster time flies?
Yeah? Like yesterday, I was raising 4 children. I blinked, and they all grew up, and now I got 7 grandchildren. Like, how crazy is that? Psalm chapter 90 and verse 10 says 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80. But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and we fly away. Listen, even if we live to be 80 or 90 or 100, even if we get the full biblical limit of 120, what is that in the grand scheme of things? What is that compared to eternity? It's a drop in a bucket, ain't it? That's why we must live every day as if it could be our last. Because the reality is, it could be. We have to be ready. So that's the question for y'all today. Are you ready to stand before Jesus if today was your day? Are you ready to stand before the Lord today? Number 3, the life of Abel speaks to us of salvation. The life of Abel speaks to us of salvation. It stands as a testimony of a life that refused to give God less than his very, very best. How many times have you already, in less than a year, heard me say, God is worthy of nothing less than our very, very best? May he receive it from us today. I don't know, you've heard it probably at least 20 times. I don't know. But he is. He's worthy of nothing less than our very, very best. He's worthy. And because Abel refused to blend in, because Abel refused to give God less than his very, very best, he lived a righteous life. He lived a holy life, and he inherited eternal life. Abel also stands as a testimony of another one that Satan couldn't get. Though Abel died early, young, he died right with God. What Abel wants us to know is, you don't have to be lost. You don't have to wander through this life hopeless, aimless, loveless, with no hope at all. You don't have to. There is salvation for your soul. There is a gospel that will save. There is a God that is able to guard that which you have entrusted to him against that day. You don't have to be lost. There is salvation. We've just got to make up our minds that we're going to love and worship and serve and trust Jesus until he comes back. Amen?
Amen.
And lastly, Abel speaks to us of the influence of a life. The life of Abel speaks to us of the influence of a life. Even though Abel died, the righteous life he lived continues to speak to us today and inform us and will for future generations. See, some people live and die and are forgotten, while others pass away, yet their influence, their legacy lives on to affect the next and the next and the next generation, even beyond the grave. That's what makes influence so powerful, y'all, is it affects you whether you want it to or not. See, I contend it's not the length of life that really matters. It's the good you do with the life you have that really matters. See, my grandma Laura went to be with Jesus well over 3 decades ago. Yet her influence continues to affect me even to this day. Like, she was not a rich woman in the world's view or world standard, but she was a godly woman. A godly woman with integrity and honor and passion for life. A sense of humor and incredible devotion to her Lord and Savior and to her family. And that influence continues to speak to me and guide me even to this day. And in fact, here's a true statement. It's because of her. Stand here today. Because of her godly influence, while I was still a heathen, it spoke deeply. And influence affects you whether you want it to or not. I just said that, but it's so true. Here's my grandma. She's like in her 80s and she's had heart attacks and pacemakers, and you know, she lost her husband when he was 50. And so she's been a widow for 30 years, and all this stuff happening to her, and I'm in the Air Force, and she keeps writing letters. Saying, Milton, trust the Lord. He is so good. And I'm thinking, Grandma, how can you say that? Look at you. You're in assisted living now. You've had so many heart attacks. You don't have your husband. Some of your kids are running amok. And all this. How can you say that God is so good? But she never stopped saying it. She never stopped believing it. And her influence changed me. God changed me, but He used Grandma to do it. She spoke hope and love into me when I had none. Listen, when my life is over and I breathe my last breath, I want my influence. I want to leave a legacy for good that will affect my kids and my grandkids and their kids for future generations. There's never been a pastor in my family that I know of. Not that that makes a whole bunch of difference. I mean, you can be an incredible follower of Jesus like my grandma was without being a pastor. But I pray that the life I live is an influence for good. A legacy for generations to chase after. How about you? What do you want your legacy to be? Would anyone want to read your eulogy? How do you want people to remember you? Let's determine together to leave a legacy of godliness for generations to follow after.
Amen.
You see, there's a date you were born, and then if you didn't know it, there's also a date appointed for you to die. There's your birth date, and there's your going home to be with Jesus date, and in between those two dates are what we call the dash. Now, I like to honor people on their birthdays, and that, you know, but those two dates aren't nearly as significant as that dash in between. So my question to you is this: what does your dash look like? What will others say about your life? What kind of legacy are you leaving behind? What defines your dash? Father, I thank you for loving us. Thank you for a simple message of hope and love, influence, salvation. And on this Memorial Day weekend, I pray, God, that you would just help us to be determined. That today and every day going forward is going to be different. If nothing else, just a little bit different. A little bit more different. Because we live with this vivid awareness that none of us have a guarantee of tomorrow. We have today. We have today to
kiss our spouse and say, I love you. To make sure our kids and our grandkids know how special they are. To wake up every morning talking to God. To close our eyes every night talking to God. And living every moment in between for the glory of the one who gave it all for us. May we do that.
You never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.